Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Today we're going to be launching our message series on peace. And a couple weeks ago, I felt like God really wanted us to center ourselves on the shalom of God, just with everything going on in our world. So before we dive in, I will start with my most important, not important, part. So how do two rival forests get along? Peace treaty. They sign a peace treaty. Yep. If you didn't know, this is my joke corner. So if you like jokes, you go to this side. All right. My therapist told me the way to achieve true inner peace is to finish what I start. So far, I have finished 2 bags of M&Ms and a chocolate cake, and I feel better already. Anybody there? There we go. That got a clap. I don't know why that got a clap, but there we go. At least we're being real and honest this morning. Last month, we talked about the harvest of God and how that word harvest actually also means process. So when God said the harvest is ready, he was actually saying, hey, go out into the process with people. How many like the word process? It's almost like a bad word. Personally, I'm like, I don't want to be in the process. I'm not sure I want to be in your process. I don't, you know, process is messy, right? And God actually said, the process is ready. Go out into the process. And that was what we talked about last month. If you want to catch up on it, it's on the podcast for the message of the week. But today, as I said, we're starting a message on the shalom peace of God. Because as Pastor Bill spoke last week, the Father's heart is at the heart of the harvest. If you try to go into your own process without the Father's heart with you, it is a hot mess. Anyone been there? You try to work it out. You try to fix the problem. You try to find the solution on your own. It's not going to work out very well. So at the heart of the harvest, at the heart of the process of life, is the Father's heartbeat. And the Father's heartbeat sounds like shalom peace. So that's what we're going to be talking about. If you turn on the news, it's very devastating in our world right now. I don't want us to ever feel like we're in a bubble here at Thrive. We're interacting with a real world that needs a real Jesus. But we carry the real Jesus. But how many know that if the church right now does not carry shalom peace in ourselves and in our lives, where is the world going to turn for peace? If we don't carry the peace right now, where will they go? And some of us are wondering, well, where do I go? Because I don't have peace. Well, you're in a good spot to get it this morning because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But some of us sitting here right now need peace in your marriage, in your friendships. Maybe it's peace in your parenting. Peace with your coworkers, peace of mind, peace in your body, peace in your emotions. Wherever you need peace, God is giving it today, right here. It's a day of breakthrough, amen? So I looked up the most peaceful country in the world. I was just curious. Anyone want to take a wild guess? What is the most, no, it is not the U.S., but what is the most peaceful country in the world? Switzerland is a good one. Norway is a good one. Why is it all the cold? It's so cold, no one wants to do anything unpeaceful. They're all like, just get me a fire and hot cocoa, right? Peace, the most peaceful one, those were all on there, but it is actually Iceland. So I thought, wow, what is the secret to Iceland, right? That's like, they got the gospel, it's Iceland, exactly. Well, Iceland has a population of 372,000 people, and it is the same size as Virginia. So the only difference between Virginia and Iceland is Virginia has 8.6 million people. So the secret to Iceland's peace is lack of people. All right? How many know you have a very peaceful house until you walk in it? Or until that special person walks in it? Maybe it's even your dog walks in it, right? It doesn't have to be a person. How many know you can be perfectly at peace until your thoughts start racing? Right? In our world, peace is the absence of something, right? In the kingdom, peace is a person named the Prince of Peace. In our world, peace is the absence of something. Why? Iceland can be the most peaceful place. But in the kingdom, peace is a person named Jesus. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And I love what Bill Johnson said, because he said, peace is the absence of something, but peace in the kingdom is a person. I'm saying that a few times because some of us think that I'll be more peaceful when I'll be more peaceful at 5 p.m. I'll be more peaceful at 6 a.m. before anyone else wakes up. I'll be more peaceful at lunch break. I'm more peaceful when I'm with this person and not with that person. I'm more peaceful when I retire. This is just an unpeaceful season of life, right? If you've got young kids or you've got a coworker situation or a crisis, this is just an unpeaceful season. In the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as an unpeaceful season, because the Prince of Peace is Emmanuel, God with us, 24/7. But peace does look different, because we do live in our world that is crying out for peace, right? It looks different. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Prince of Peace." I figured I gave Thanksgiving message in October. We're going for Christmas today, all right? Prince of Peace. "Of the increase of his kingdom," or of his government, excuse me, "and peace, there will be no end." So here's a news flash this morning. There is just as much peace available 2,000 years ago as there is today. Heaven does not have a shortage of peace. Some of us need to be reminded of that. What's incredible is if you look at the life of Jesus, people tried to kill him. Demons were showing up at most of his meetings. There was extreme persecution. There was hardship. And he never stopped being the Prince of Peace. Fully God and fully man, he was able to walk in the peace of heaven. Now, some of us this morning, if you have dealt with anxiety or anything in your life that feels out of control, which if you just wake up in the morning, I think our world is out of control at the moment. I don't want you to feel shame or self-condemnation from not feeling peace. This morning is an invitation to realize what you have access to all along, all right? So just stay with me. Peace matters to our brains. I love this because I'm not a doctor, so I'm going to mispronounce this medical term. Do we have any medical students? No, okay, but if you do know the proper name, just shout it out at me. In conflict or threat, we have an amygdala. There we go. Amygdala, is that right, Wendy? Okay. Hijack. The heart rate starts to go up. We get sweaty palms. And an active amygdala immediately shuts down the neural pathways to our prefrontal cortex, which can make us become disoriented. Complex decision-making disappears, and we get trapped in one perspective that feels most safe to us, which is usually, I am right and you are wrong. Memory becomes untrustworthy. We forget anything positive about somebody. Anyone ever gotten in conflict and, like, for the love of everything, you cannot remember one positive thing about this person? Or maybe it's about yourself. You just can't remember it. It's like you've been, that's actually scientific. And this article said, our brains are wired to react to conflict and not to respond productively. That's not good. Our brains are wired to react in conflict and not respond productively. This is why we are to be people who carry the peace of God, so that we can respond to a world that is crying out for help productively, right? We as believers are called to be productive people. I'm not talking about works. I'm just saying that we're called to respond to heaven and to actually make a difference in all the chaos. Peace matters more than just in nations, though. Nations at war begin with people at war, right? And if you look in the Old Testament, we see many brothers fighting that now look like nations fighting in our world. We say here, thriving homes transform cities, but peace-filled homes affect nations and generations. Many of us didn't grow up in a peace-filled home. But I want you to know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he has made his home in you. So if you have a past that doesn't look like peace, you're in the right place this morning, because Jesus said, I'll make my home in you, and I am peace. So I just want you to be in a place this morning of being able to receive from God. So what is peace from God's perspective? Peace in the Bible is the word shalom, and shalom is the Hebrew greeting. I wish our English hello meant more than hello. English just gets me going. I hate English, pardon me, but I love English class, right? I love to write, and obviously, but I don't like the English language because the Hebrew is just so much more rich. So shalom means hello and goodbye. And what I love is the first time it was used as a hello was by an angel. Isn't that cool? The first greeting ever was by an angel in Judges 6. And it was to Gideon. And shortly after, Gideon built an altar to God and called God, "The Lord is shalom." The last word on the priestly blessing found on the oldest known fragment of a biblical text, it was on a silver plaque, roughly about 2,600 years old, it dates back to when Solomon's temple still stood, says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." That last word on the oldest fragment of the Bible, Jesus said, no, I want peace on that oldest fragment that you're going to find. So that word shalom means completeness, soundness, welfare. The root in Strong's means to be safe in mind and body, completed, to be friendly, to make amends, to make restitution, to restore, to reward, to have health. Now, doesn't that sound like the kind of peace that Jesus died to give us? The deeper root, which is connected to the pictograph of the original Hebrew, means to literally break the bond that adheres to chaos. How many have felt adhered to chaos a little bit? Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he says, "I am here to break the bond that adheres to chaos." Now, I really wish the English word hello meant to break the bond that adheres to chaos. Wouldn't you love to say hello to somebody today? Wouldn't that be great? What's interesting is the first time peace is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 15:15, and it is promised as part of God's first covenant to humanity through Abram. And this is interesting because it's actually referring to death, which I think is interesting because there is a truth that until we really are in eternity, we'll never really experience perfect peace forever, right? There is a certain point in peace that actually points us to eternity. It says he placed eternity in our hearts, and peace is part of that eternal blessing. Does that make sense? And so every time that you don't have peace, it's a time to turn to God, but it's also a time to receive peace, but also to remind yourself, wait a minute, this is actually pointing me to eternity, something beyond this earth. True peace cannot come from this earth. It has to come from something beyond this earth. But I also love that it was first mentioned in the Bible during a covenant, because it's actually part of a covenant blessing. And that word covenant is a legal contract. We don't talk about covenant that often. Maybe we will soon, but it's kind of a weird word maybe now. But there's the covenant of marriage. It's a legal contract. Did you know that when you enter into relationship with God, there's a legal transaction that happens? And Jesus says, no, the enemy can't have you. Chaos can't have you. You are mine, legally. He bought on that cross our lives, right? And part of that inheritance is peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, "Christ himself has brought peace to us." Kingdom peace is not the absence of something, it's the presence of the Prince of Peace. It is not conditional to this earth, it's eternal. It is not fake, it speaks to the wholeness we have access to through Christ. It is not flaky, it is real through covenant. It is not medicated, it is inherited. That doesn't mean to reject your doctor if your doctor is helping you with something, but we are talking something deeper. We're talking a spiritual rooted peace. And shalom is one third of the kingdom of God, which we will talk about in just a second. So our message series is called Find the Missing Piece. And had I been a little bit healthier, I was going to buy like a really cool puzzle piece. How many love puzzles? Anybody love? Okay, a couple of us, hold strong. They give me headache and I get really angry. I'm not going to lie, but they are really cool when you finish. But have you ever worked on a puzzle and lost one of the pieces and you didn't realize it until the very end and you spent hours and hours and hours and then it's gone? Maybe your cat got it. Maybe your vacuum got it, right? Maybe it was never in the box because it was a used puzzle. But it is the most aggravating thing. And some of us are trying to put our life together and we're missing a piece. I looked it up and a 29-foot puzzle at Costco is the biggest puzzle you can buy in our world right now, all right? That's a big puzzle. It is 60,000 pieces. Do not buy this for me for pastor appreciation. Thank you. All right, just putting that out there. It costs $600. But I don't know about you, but for me, I don't need to spend $600 to have 60,000 pieces that don't seem to fit together in my life. Right? Can I get an amen? Some of us are missing the very centerpiece of the puzzle of life, though. And we'll talk more about puzzles and kind of some of the things that God can teach us through them over this coming weeks. My mom loves puzzles, and she was telling me all these cool things about puzzles, but I'm not going to go into them because, again, they get me frustrated. But how many have felt that you have 60,000 pieces in your life and you don't even know where to put them, let alone how to fit them together? Maybe it's your schedule, maybe it's your concerns, maybe it's the news, maybe it's all these conflicting thoughts and you just don't know where to put them. But Jesus died to give us the missing piece, to show us the design that he has created for us that's whole, right? So our key verse again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And I like that word fearful because it means to shrink. How many have a response when you don't have any peace to shrink? Maybe you know, in relationships, you either have the goal of connection or the goal of distance in what you do. And when worry and lack of peace creeps in, suddenly you shrink and distance becomes the goal of your relationship. I've had that, right? So that shrinking is not what Jesus died to give us. But that word heart, it says, do not let your heart, can you say heart? Just so I can cough, thank you. Heart means center. All right, do not let your center be troubled. That word troubled means disturbed or agitated or stirred up. Did you know there is a war on the center of who you are, of agitation and trying to be disturbed? And if you just look around right now, or even you don't look around, if you can sense some of the atmosphere, there's a lot of agitation, there's a lot of stirring up. And Jesus says, hey, don't miss the peace that I want to put in the center of who you are. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let the center of your marriage, do not let the center of your day, do not let the center of who you are be agitated and disturbed. But I don't know about you, but when I see something like that, I want to actually know how that's possible, right? It's easy to say, you can put it on a bumper sticker, you can buy it at Hobby Lobby, but we need to actually be able to walk this truth out. Because the world is devastatingly looking for missing peace right now. So John 14:27, it says, let's back up actually to verse 26. The advocate, the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you, my peace I leave with you. If we go over to John 20, it says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. Can you say peace? As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So it's great to say, receive peace, right? Peace, he left me peace. But what we actually see here is peace is always connected with the Holy Spirit, right? And in order to walk in a lifestyle of peace, we have to get to the point where we aren't just having a Holy Spirit event in our life, but we are actually living a lifestyle of relationship with Emmanuel, God with us, who we call Holy Spirit. Maybe some of us can remember an encounter we've had with God. One of my very favorites was with Pastor Caleb, actually. This would have been about 15 years ago, I guess, at this point. I was standing literally right here. That's why it's cool to have encounters at church, because then you come in and you're like, hey, I can remember what God did there and in that seat and in that seat. Isn't that awesome? But I was standing right here, and I had been leading worship, and I came down, and God said, have Pastor Caleb pray for you. So Pastor Caleb prayed for me, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never had this happen to you before, but I got so filled with the Holy Spirit, I like literally could not see straight. I was in the Bible, they sometimes say that you get filled so much, it's almost like you're drunk. And literally literally everything turned, all right? And I was so filled, I couldn't stop laughing. I was just so filled with joy, and God just delivered me of a bunch of stuff. But I could barely walk, and ironically, I got to pray for Brian there, and then, of course, we weren't even dating at that point, but God knew that he needed some of that joy because he was going to be married to me 15 years later, right? But sometimes we have these events of Holy Spirit. If you haven't had an event with Holy Spirit, just know that Holy Spirit is in the whisper. Sometimes the event isn't loud. Sometimes Holy Spirit just sounds like a whisper in your day. But our lives are not meant to be lived around events. They're meant to be lived as a lifestyle with Holy Spirit, actively living with him. It's part of the reason why we have this Bible study going, because we get into that active relationship with the Holy Spirit through getting in the Word, not just religiously, but letting the Word read us, right? That's when Holy Spirit makes the Word come alive. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or you don't even know what that means, I do invite you, come up, talk to Pastor Caleb, because he would love to pray for you for that. But peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. We read that. And then in Romans 15, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and in as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know increased peace is the evidence we are receiving God? Increased peace is the evidence we are receiving God. Remember what peace means. Peace means wholeness. Peace means health, right? Peace means safety. It means that you actually go to God as your safe place. You don't go back to that addiction. You aren't going back to your past. You aren't shrinking back, but you're saying, Jesus, I want you. Peace is the evidence that we are receiving God. It's not a feeling. And I love what Steve Backlund says. He says, feelings do not validate truth. They validate what we feel to be true, right? Peace is not a feeling. Maybe as I'm talking about peace, maybe you deal with some mental health struggles or you're working through some trauma and you're like, great, now I don't ever feel peace. I guess I haven't received anything from God. Peace is not a feeling. The goodness of God is not a feeling. God is so much bigger than our emotions. But even Jesus did have emotions, so emotions aren't bad, but it goes beyond our feeling. We have to think thoughts higher than what we see around us, feel things greater than what is around us. Does that make sense? So I've talked about anxiety disorders in the past here. It's the most common mental disorder, and it affects about 300 million people in our world. So statistically, that means a lot of us here may struggle with some level of anxiety. But I love Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. About, gosh, I guess it was more like 7 months ago, we had a comedian here and I talked about how joy is one third of the kingdom, but another one third is peace. And I got to talk to a Christian comedian once and he asked me, well, how do you pastor and how do you deal with anxiety? It was like, we were just saying hi to each other. And then he asked me that. And I was like, whoa, we are going deep today. We are going to get to know each other. So I was trying to figure out how to answer him. And I was like, well, I've struggled with some anxiety, but I don't know. Like, you know, I was talking, trying to be real. And then he shared his personal testimony of God setting him free from anxiety and how sometimes anxiety, of course, can have some kind of medical root to it, but there's also a spiritual side to it. And so after we got done talking, it was crazy. He didn't pray for me. We just talked. But he shared his testimony of freedom. And by the time he left, God had set me free from anxiety. And, you know, I used to shake and a whole bunch of stuff. And God reset my nervous system. Doesn't mean that I don't get anxiety sometimes still, but anxiety doesn't have me, right? There's a difference in the power of Jesus. And I love that a comedian is what delivered me, because one third of the kingdom is joy, but the other one third is peace. So I want to share that with you today, because if you struggle with anxiety, there's no condemnation. But there is a spiritual freedom that you can walk in. No matter what your mind or your nervous system is doing, there is a peace of God that transcends all of that and can transform you from the inside out. Does that make sense? All right, so why don't you stand on your feet this morning? Luke 22:19 says, "And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given to you in remembrance of me.'" Last month, we talked about how thanksgiving and anxiety cannot operate at the same time scientifically in your brain. And that was a great practical message. If you want, you can listen to it in the podcast. But what I love is here in Luke 22, it says, "He gave thanks and then said, 'This is my body.'" And then he says to do it often. And I don't know about you, but as we took communion this morning, we do it often, right? But what he said was, "Give thanks and take my body and do it often." Why would he say that? Because thanksgiving is the gateway to communion with Jesus, with the Prince of Peace, because it requires a mind shift. It's not something that we can work up, but it is something that Jesus can renew our minds to think differently. How many know right now you have to think differently if you're going to walk in peace in our world right now? If you can't think differently, then, you know, I don't know. How many know it's a struggle? I've got friends that are literally on the front lines as we speak, fighting in war. Peace has to look different in the kingdom. Peace is a person named Jesus. So this month, we're going to get very practical, which Brian always says, I always say, so we'll get practical, continually get practical. But it's because if you can't walk out the door with something to apply to your life, I don't know. The word of God just seems way too practical to miss walking away with something that you can apply to your life. But this month, we are going to talk about renewing our mind. We're going to talk about what the peace of God can look like practically in different areas in our lives. And I encourage you, if you know someone that is struggling right now with lack of peace, to think about inviting them or just share the podcast. How many know you are the church, right? Invite them over for dinner, be the church, and just share the peace of God, because the world is desperate for peace right now. So I just want to bless you with God's shalom peace. Whoop, we've got a pod. I think we've got someone playing the live stream. There we go. Okay, we're good. So if you want to just open up your hands to receive God's peace here. Next week, we're going to talk about how the peace of God is actually a guard to us. It's a weapon. So I just bless you right now with the shalom peace of God, that any area in your life that seems bound to chaos would encounter the shalom peace of God named Jesus right now. That any patterns of thought that have been destructive that you have been stuck in, whether it's about how you see yourself, how you see a person in your life, a situation. Some of us have been having nightmares of our past on repeat, and we're even scared to go to bed at night because we keep seeing the past. And Jesus, right now, we just release your breakthrough shalom to come and touch minds, nervous systems, and hearts. God, we thank you that your shalom is completeness. It is soundness. It is welfare. It is safety. It is restoration. And it is health to our bones. So I bless every marriage and every friendship here. I bless every mind and heart, every workplace, every parent, every finance situation. And even right now, Jesus, we bless our world. We bless the Middle East. We bless Israel right now with your shalom peace. God, do what only you can do in our world. We thank you, though, that you never leave us and you never forsake us. And it is more than a feeling. It is a reality you invite us to walk in by faith. So give us faith this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.